Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Clay Travis joins us. He's presented by thehomeloanexpert.com. Joins us every Friday to kick off the 11 a.m. hour. Clay, you are missed this morning here at Con of Thrones. You would love this.
Yeah, I do imagine that's pretty cool. And I had Withrow on my show this morning, and he was talking about who you guys are going to have on. And yeah, I'm pretty curious to see how kind of the whole thing goes. How massive is it down there?
It's a little smaller than we expected, honestly. It's kind of one big room. They have most everything in. They have these breakout rooms also. But it's really cool. We've seen Bronn, Jerome Flynn, here. We've yet to see Hannah Murray, but we know that she's here. And I said that Nikolai Coster-Waldau was not going to be here. He will be here tomorrow and Sunday. So I'm hoping that maybe I can get back down here to record an interview with him also. But he's going to be in town this weekend.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, Game of Thrones, I think, is going to be like Star Wars and, you know, many other of the sort of iconic, never-ending stories, the Marvel Universe, those kinds of storylines that I think will be playing out for years and years to come.
So we have some of the production assistants here. They're coming up with the cast of the show and, like, who we would play for Game of Thrones. Who's the uncle in the show that looks exactly like you?
Benjen Stark.
Benjen, yes. Benjen Stark, who comes back like late in the show, and like Clay makes his grand return to the show.
And gets shut down by Sansa?
Yeah.
Sit down, Uncle.
Looks just like Benjen.
Look, Benjen Stark is I think the best looking, and it's not just a coincidence that we've looked the same, but I think he's the best looking, sexiest, kind of underrated in the overall amazing appeal category.
So Clay, if I was a part of something like Game of Thrones, especially if I'm the creator of that show, George R. R. Martin obviously wrote the books that the show is based on, but I wait a little bit to bring it back and do something different with it. And I know they're going to have this sort of prequel they're going to have on HBO. But wouldn't you want to just have this thing go on in perpetuity if you're a part of it in any way of that level of success? Like, I would just devote the rest of my life to making sure every year or two we've got something new coming out in the Game of Thrones universe. Would you not be the same way?
I think probably. I do think at some point in time you can be kind of overwhelmed by what you created, and the people who are the fans of what you created can drive you insane. And I would think George R.R. Martin might be there right now. But what I have said from the get-go is I think what will happen is all of these characters, all these people on Game of Thrones think they're going to leave the show and have success doing other things. And I think what they are likely to discover is being on a show as popular of Game of Thrones is rare and may never happen in their careers again. And so I suspect that that they will end up coming back to this version of Game of Thrones, and that we haven't even seen the last of it.
So, Clay, I found myself watching Coco Gauff a lot over the course of Wimbledon. I'm thinking to myself, this is kind of a marketer's dream. You know, much like you had Tiger, which was a one-name synonymous that you said it and people knew exactly what it was. I'm thinking if 15-year-old Coco Gauff takes off, Coco as an American star in a sport that not a lot of Americans are paying attention to right now could become a star, maybe not on equal footing with Tiger Woods, but a star in her own right. What do you think?
I think the challenge is, Tiger kind of came along after there had been a void in the sport for a while. Serena Williams, if I'm not mistaken, is playing to try to win her 24th Grand Slam tomorrow. And so I think there is going to be a big shadow of Venus Williams that hangs over the sport. Serena Williams for time to come. Certainly Venus and Serena have dominated women's tennis between the two of them for a long time, Serena more than Venus. And so I'm not sure how unique she would be unless she comes out and she is immediately dominant. In other words, I think the standard for relevance in women's tennis has been set pretty high by Serena. And if you come along and only win a couple of majors, it's like, man, you know what? That doesn't really make much of a difference. Now, I think in men's tennis, if we had a Coco version of men's tennis, because it's been so long since now Sampras and Agassi and everybody else were out there competing for men's tennis championships from the U.S., I think there's probably an opening on the men's side, but not as much on the women's side.
Clay, how do you think Megan Rapinoe came out of all of this? With the controversy surrounding her comments about the White House and about Donald Trump, and ultimately, you know, even Donald Trump tweeted, hey, go and win the World Cup, have success there. They win the World Cup, she wins the Golden Boot. How do you think this all worked out for her in the end, and how is this going to be perceived moving forward?
Well, she's 34, so I think you probably presume that she's not going to play, although who knows for sure. In 4 years when U.S. women's soccer kind of cycles up again and is relevant in 2023. So the number of athletes who have been truly relevant after their careers end, you can kind of put them on one hand. And so I think it's unlikely that she's one of them. If she wants to get incredibly political, maybe she runs for office and prolongs kind of her moment in this on the stage, so to speak. But otherwise, I think she'll kind of fade into athlete oblivion. I think that's just kind of the natural course of things, because once you don't have the storyline of your athleticism, for the most part, most of the people who are not or who are former athletes are not really relevant, right? I mean, unless you're in media, in which case, obviously, you're still in front of the public eye. I can't really think of that many that have retained their relevance, and I certainly don't think she's famous enough to do that.
More to Clay Travis from Outkick the Coverage when we come back. But first, Clay, tell us about our buddy, Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert.
Yeah, look, right now is an incredibly difficult time to get the right home in Nashville because it's so competitive. And a big part of getting the right home in Nashville is having the right mortgage rate and also having a pre-qualification that you've been taking care of. That's why you need to go to right now, thehomeloanexpert.com. Let Ryan Kelly hook you up. That's thehomeloanexpert.com. Be well on your way to getting the best under 4% mortgage rate that you can get anywhere, as well as getting pre-qualified. It takes as little as 5 minutes. All you have to do is go to thehomeloanexpert.com.
Clay, what was it like being in L.A. for the earthquake?
Well, I wasn't just in L.A. for the earthquakes. I was on the 15th floor of my hotel when both earthquakes happened to hit. When the ground beneath you shakes like that, it's wild. I've managed somehow to be in California for the three biggest earthquakes that have taken place in the last 20 years. I was in San Diego when another big one hit back in 2006. So, the actual impact was insubstantial, in terms of, you know, like, I mean, almost immediately things went back completely to normal because it wasn't close enough in proximity to create substantial issues in Los Angeles. But when the ground is moving beneath your feet and the building that you are in is swaying precipitously, even if it's built on rollers so that it can handle the ability to shift like that, it's pretty terrifying in and of itself. And you wonder, like, what should I be doing? And the answer is you're supposed to, like, climb underneath a desk, which doesn't seem very safe either.
So how long did it actually last? How long does it feel like it's lasting when an earthquake like that's happening, especially when you're on the 15th floor of a hotel?
Like a minute. Probably where, you know, the ground starts shaking and for a minute you're like, wait a minute, is the ground moving or, kind of am I imagining this? And then as the ground begins to move for longer, you start to wonder, you know, like how intense is this going to get because it builds up kind of to a crescendo moment and then, you know, sort of devolves over the course of the rest of that time. But I mean, it's an eerie feeling, I would say, to be sitting there and feeling it moving around like it was happening taking place there.
Do things start falling off the walls? I mean, are things crashing around you? Like, how bad was it when you're sitting there in the hotel room? All of this fascinates me. I've never been in an earthquake.
Yeah, nothing fell off in my hotel room. I mean, I think things that got knocked off shelves and fell off and things like that, like if they're on the edge of a bookshelf and things like that. But it's all about the overall intensity of the earthquake. And I would say afterwards, it's a little bit like how sometimes you feel like, like your phone is buzzing, even when it's not actually buzzing. Your equilibrium is a little bit off. So you'll be thinking to yourself, wait a minute, like the ground doesn't feel as solid as it did before.
Clay, how hilarious is the Bagel Boss and the viral video that's happened, and how close does he look to Paul?
Yeah, that he looks like Gaharski. I hadn't noticed that, but the screen.
Well, it sounds like Gaharski a little bit too.
The screenshots that you put out were pretty outstanding. Look, I mean, I thought that the video was really, really funny. And I've said this for a long time. Women get really upset if you say, like, I don't like fat chicks, right? They'll be like, oh my God, how dare you judge a woman based on her weight? Like that is they get furious, right? But women feel very comfortable saying, yeah, I'm not really into short, bald men. All the time, right? Like, and I apologize to the short, bald men out there listening who are like, dang, Clay, I'm trying to have a normal day, trying to enjoy myself, and you just reminded me that I'm short and bald again. In fact, and that's what I also think, in dating profiles, like, women regularly say, like, hey, if you're, a short guy or a bald guy, don't bother interacting with me. I'm not interested in you. And yet, like, if a guy puts on his dating profile, not into fat chicks, people are like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. Yet you can control your weight. You really can't control whether you're short or bald. And short, bald men get judged for it all the time.
Excellent thesis by you on that. I've never even thought of it from that perspective.
I mean, think about it. Like,
yeah,
if
you're
right.
Now,
like, if you went on the show and you're like, what kind of girls do you like? And you're a single guy and you're like, well, I don't really like fat girls, then women would be like, oh my God, like, that is so unacceptable. But if you had a girl on the show and you're like, what kind of guys do you like? And she's like, well, I'm not into short guys, and I definitely don't like bald people. Like, women would be like, oh, it's totally acceptable for them to discriminate based on things that you can't even control, really, right? One of my friends liked to say that he was going bald, and he's like, bald guys get made fun of all the time for being bald. It's the only physical thing, other than maybe short guys, that it's allowed to be made fun of, right? Like, otherwise, you can't make fun of anything relating to a woman, even if it's something that she's helped cause, like, it's considered to be inappropriate or unacceptable. Short, bald guys are, like, they drew the short stick, so to speak, in life. They just get, attacked no matter what.
Clay, did Mike Vrabel have the quote of the offseason from any coach in football when he said that he would remove his member to win a Super Bowl as a head coach?
Yeah, look, when you say you would cut your Dick Cheney off, to me, that's not only the best quote of the offseason, that's the funniest, maybe the funniest NFL head coach quote of all time. and it wasn't just that quote. It was that he said he's already been married for 20 years, so he doesn't really need it anyway, which brought it home even more to bear there. I thought it was just fantastic.
I mean, when I heard it for the first time, Clay, I'm thinking so many other coaches could win over fan bases by promising something as extreme if they could win a championship.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think what fans typically want, whether you are an athlete or a player, or a coach, is for the fan to feel like the players and the coaches care as much about whether they won a game as a fan does. And I think a lot of times you don't get that sense, right? Like, you watch a team lose, and after the game they're like shaking hands and smiling on the field, and you're like, you just lost. Like, why are you so happy? And the reality is, it's a job, right? It's a job for those guys, as opposed sometimes to a passion. And I think as a fan, you just want to believe that people care as much about winning as you do. And sometimes you don't get that sense. And when you see a quote like that from Vrabel, even if it's tongue-in-cheek, clearly, and also designed to be funny, I think it kind of brings to bear how much that guy wants to win, how competitive he is.
Will Russell Westbrook and James Harden together in Houston work out?
I think it's fine work out. I mean, I think they'll be one of the six or seven best teams in the NBA this coming season. I think they'll probably feud with each other because both of them seem to have a little bit of prickly personalities based on the way that they've kind of had interactions in the years past. But I think, you know, look, the big loser here to me is Chris Paul, because he goes from a team that had a chance to win a championship the past 2 years and probably is the best team he's ever been on, to now he's on Oklahoma City, and wherever he gets traded to, you're also not going to have a chance to win a championship there. So I just think, who's advising Chris Paul? He's going to make a lot of money, but do you want to be a 34, 35, and 36-year-old point guard playing 82 basketball games that really don't matter at all in terms of contending for championships? I can't imagine that's a choice he would like to make, and yet it's the position that he put himself in.
Well, I really wish Paul was here to debate this with you, but he sent us a story this week, and this is a story that's been written about, where people are looking in to see whether or not it's unconstitutional for Donald Trump to block people on Twitter because of the First Amendment. Where do you fall on this? Do you care if any president blocks people on social media?
Well, first of all, I mean, the ruling is important. Because it would apply to any elected official. So regardless of your political leanings, it would apply to AOC or Hillary Clinton the same way that it would apply to Donald Trump. I think that Twitter needs to fix the block function. And the change that I would make, and I'm curious, look, the court has to decide what's appropriate from a First Amendment perspective, is, and I'm sympathetic to the idea that if you're blocked by by somebody on Twitter, you can't see what they're tweeting, which means that you're not potentially as informed as a citizen as you otherwise would be. I think you shouldn't be able to block people from seeing your tweets, but I don't have a problem with blocking someone who you think is behaving inappropriately in your mentions from being able to comment there. So to me, there's a distinction legally that I would find if I were a judge, between blocking someone, and for people who are not familiar, this means that if you block an account, they can't read the tweets that you're sending, versus if you were able to block an account and just keep people from commenting because you think the comments that are being made are not particularly appropriate. That would be the solution that I would try to bring to bear here. But I do think it's certainly an intriguing legal precedent, and it's a challenging one as we try to apply the framework of First Amendment law to the existence of social media.
Clay, I know that that the MLB All-Star Game remains the number one All-Star Game in sports, but when compared to the NBA, how does it compare to the NBA All-Star Game? And I'm guessing because ESPN didn't tweet out any numbers about the NBA All-Star Game being comparable to what Major League Baseball did on Fox, that it's not really that close.
The NBA All-Star Game has never in the history of the All-Star Game outrated the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. So while, you know, the NBA All-Star Game, I think, gets a decent amount of attention, it, again, it has never outrated Major League Baseball's All-Star Game. And I think that's because Major League Baseball, of all the All-Star games, has the best All-Star game, because you can play Major League Baseball at the same level that you would play high-level Major League Baseball games, whereas you can't do that in the NHL or certainly in the NFL. And in basketball, you know, it's 180 to 176 or whatever it ends up being. There's never any defense played, and it's not really that comparable to high-level basketball. So I think baseball does decently, but I think it would surprise a lot of people that it consistently outrates the NBA and has, in fact, outrated the NBA All-Star Game every year since the NBA All-Star Game started.
Clay Travis with OutKick has been our guest, joins us every Friday at 11 a.m. Clay, appreciate it, man, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Appreciate y'all having me. Thanks a lot.